Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Sterling Heights, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in physiology from the University of Michigan and a medical degree from Wayne State University School of Medicine. He is a pioneer in physician concierge services and is the co-founder and CEO of Premier Private Physicians, which was formed in 2001. He is also the co-founder and past president of the American Academy of Private Physicians. His name? Dr. John Blanchard. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. John Blanchard, the co-founder and CEO of Premier Private Physicians, which he formed in 2001. Doctor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Sure. I grew up in Sterling Heights, and my parents always taught me to the most important thing in life is relationships. And that our lives aren't measured by the amount of money we make or the positions we hold, but about the relationships that we have with the people in our lives.
Other than that, what's the biggest thing that Mom taught you?
Well, I would say primarily to care for others, put others before yourself. Always think of other people's needs, again, in the interest of creating good relationships, I think that's the best place to start.
When you were 18, your dad got cancer. How did that change your life?
Well, I was a freshman at Michigan State studying physiology, and wasn't sure what I wanted to do at that time in my life. And when my dad became sick, he was going to a lot of doctor's offices and seeing different doctors for his cancer. And it occurred to me that the physicians didn't seem to develop a relationship with him, that he was treated almost like a number in a system, put through the system, and not really given the amount of time that he needed to address his problems. And he ultimately passed away from the cancer, and I went back to Michigan State with the idea that I was going to become a physician and practice a different type of medicine, one where the relationship was first and foremost.
Three of the worst words anybody can hear is, you have cancer. And so many of us are hearing that nowadays. Talk to us about cancer, doctor.
Well, it's obviously something that as people go through their lives, they don't necessarily think a whole lot about. Cancer is something that happens to other people, but it's something that's very common and something that has touched all of our lives in some way. And when you get that news, isn't it then that you really need to have a relationship with a trusted advisor, someone who you can go to, like a primary care physician, who can help you to navigate the waters of healthcare. And unfortunately, increasingly in today's healthcare system, we're moving away from a personalized relationship-based approach to healthcare. And I feel more of an institutionalized healthcare approach that I think doesn't allow for that relationship to form.
When we were young, we almost never heard the word cancer. And now, so many young people, and doctor, so many children get cancer. Why?
Well, it's hard to say. There are so many multiple factors that come into play with cancer, you know, there's a few things that we can sort of say with certainty. You know, aging is a process that causes cancer. Children exposed to certain carcinogens can be at risk of cancer, such as, you know, tobacco smoke, secondhand smoke, those sort of things. And so we should go all in on trying to avoid those things that promote, that we know promote cancer, such as smoking and overconsumption of alcohol and those sort of things.
There's more and more of us. We're living longer. If a young person is interested in a career as a physician, what would you say to that young person?
Well, being a physician is an incredibly gratifying experience. Again, it's one of the only places where you can have a very personal, professional relationship with a patient. And despite the challenges in healthcare, it's still an incredibly gratifying experience to be a physician. And I encourage students who are thinking about it to go into medicine, but go into it with the realization that we're facing some of the most difficult challenges that we've ever faced in healthcare.
We're talking to Dr. John Blanchard, who's old school in that he believes that you should practice medicine based on relationships. That is old school. When we come back, we'll ask him if that's still possible today. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. John Blanchard, who wanted to become a physician, and he wanted to practice medicine based on relationships. Old school. Marcus Welby, MD. Why did it change?
Well, you know, when I finished my residency and began in private practice, it became obvious to my partners and I that although we wanted to practice a model of healthcare delivery where the patient was the center of the focus and the relationship was there, that we realized that healthcare is a business. And this was around 2001, and we recognized that healthcare was moving away from a personalized, relationship-based healthcare more towards an institutionalized healthcare approach. In which medicine was practiced in larger organizations, and there was a lot of consolidation occurring, and there has been a continued amount of consolidation where physicians are joining accountable care organizations and larger institutions. And exactly what we predicted is happening, in that that institutionalized approach is not it's damaging the relationship between the physician and the patient, and we will never arrive at high-quality, cost-effective healthcare that's service-oriented as long as it's an institutionalized approach and the relationship isn't there between the physician and the patient.
The fact of the matter is that, adjusted for inflation, primary care income is down 10% over the last 10 years. Most of us would say, that's crazy. Our insurance premiums keep going up. We're just assuming the doctors are getting richer and richer.
What healthcare needs today, Jack, is value. What we have is volume. Institutions, doctors, the insurance industry are emphasizing, you know, how many people you can push through a system and not the value that's provided for each individual. And that's what my partners and I are trying to change. And we're a small percentage of doctors in the country. In 2011, there was only 4% of the doctors in the country practicing this type of a model. And now there's 9%. So there's been a tremendous increase over the past 3 years, and we expect that trend to continue. But it's been an uphill battle. There are a lot of people who don't understand what we're all about. They think we're just trying to get rich, which has never been the motive for us to become family physicians or in what we're doing now. What we're trying to do is deliver the trifecta, which is high quality, high service, and lower healthcare costs. And in fact, we've been able to show that our hospitalization rates are 80% less than a traditional healthcare setting. Simply stated, our patients end up in the hospital less than other practices.
You're old school in that you wanted to practice medicine in a relationship basis, but then you were ahead of your time in 2001. 2001, none of us had even ever heard of Barack Obama, yet alone Obamacare, and you form Premier Private Physicians, a concierge physician service. Nobody knew what that was. Why did you do that so early? You pick the ponies that well?
I really did see the writing on the wall and where we were going in healthcare. And I knew that if we created a model of healthcare delivery that first started with spending time with the patient, time is the currency of excellence. If you're going to be excellent at anything, you have to spend time on it. And for physicians, that means spending time with the patient. A recent study that was done by the, it was just published by the Medscape Physician Compensation Report in April 15th, 2014, showed that 100% of the respondents spend less than 25 minutes with the patient at each of their visits on average. Over 50%, closer to 70%, spend less than 17 to 20 minutes. That's simply not enough time for people to develop a relationship and for the physician to arrive at a high-quality diagnosis and treatment plan. On average, we spend an hour with each patient, and our physicals are as long as 3 hours in length. It's that time that allows us to provide high-quality health care that's service-oriented.
If you want to learn more, www.premiermd.com. I quote you now. You say, our health care system is flawed.
It's fundamentally flawed in that it's destroying the foundation of high-quality, cost-effective health care. Again, if value is the goal in our healthcare system, you don't do that by destroying the primary care foundation. A study by the Physicians Foundation back in 2010 predicted that as much as 50% of primary care physicians are going to leave medicine in the near future. Medical school graduates aren't going into primary care. And this is where study after study shows that places where we don't have high-quality access to primary care, the cost of health care rise and the quality disintegrates, error rates rise, and that's where we're headed.
We hear a lot of, oft times, two phrases, socialized health care systems versus free market systems. What is the difference?
Well, essentially, Jack, we have a retail free marketplace in healthcare now with passing the I call it the Unaffordable Care Act. What it did was increase deductibles for most insurances to $5,000, and 80% of the population spend less than $5,000 in claims in the course of a year. So for 80% of us, we're paying cash for the health care that we receive. The only question is, are you getting value for the cash that you're paying? The Unaffordable Care Act, I think, is essentially just one step toward the attempt to create a single-payer system for healthcare, which is the ultimate in institutionalized healthcare delivery. Anyone who thinks that the government can run healthcare better than individual small businesses in the form of medical practices is sorely mistaken.
We're talking to Dr. John Blanchard, and I quote him again, who says, "Today's sick care system can help you achieve optimal health." When we come back, we'll ask him about that. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with the co-founder and CEO of Premier Private Physicians, Dr. John Blanchard. Doctor, when you say optimal healthcare model, what do you mean by that?
Well, the optimal healthcare model that we came up with is built on a foundation of time, because time with the patient allows for communication, and communication allows for the physician to make a true diagnosis and true treatment. There are studies that show that after direct observation of physician-patient interaction, that the doctor gets either the wrong diagnosis or wrong treatment up to 50% of the time. The error rates in healthcare are just abysmal, and a lot of people are suffering because of that. It's not because we have bad doctors or bad nurses or healthcare professionals. It's because we have a system that's broken. And our model, optimal model of healthcare delivery, allows for time and communication and therefore a relationship to form between the patient and the physician. And that's the starting point of helping the patient achieve optimal health in their lives. And I don't care what a person's situation is, they can strive for optimal health. And we view ourselves as a partner with them in achieving that. Optimal health is the presence of physical health, emotional health, and what we call biochemical health. So their blood pressure and cholesterol and other parameters are in a healthy range. So our optimal healthcare model helps people achieve optimal health in their lives.
What is the cost for this service?
The cost is $200 a month, and for that, patients get unfettered access to their private physician. They have the physician's cell phone number to communicate with them 24 hours a day, email. There's no waiting when they come into the office. There are longer visits. They get a comprehensive head-to-toe 3-hour physical examination that comes up with a wellness plan for the year. We're able to take care of 85% of people's medical problems that come through the door. And if for the things we can't can take care of ourselves, we refer them to who we think are the best specialists to provide them the care that they need outside of our office. We also take care of patients in the hospital if they should end up there, which often doesn't occur in today's healthcare system. Essentially, they get a private physician to attend to the majority of their healthcare needs through the year: hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, health and maintenance and disease prevention.
You saw this company coming back in 2001 with Obamacare and the enactment. How will that change how healthcare is provided to the typical American in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, we're already seeing it happen with these high deductibles. People are realizing that health insurance is not health care. What I do is health care, and that occurs in my exam room in my office. Health insurance is not that. People are beginning to realize that, and I believe the quality of health care delivery is going to suffer. Access is going to suffer. Certainly the service in healthcare is going to suffer. And it will, like a lot of other things, make the decision about joining a practice, a concierge-style practice, one that patients really, you know, want to make for the benefit of themselves and their loved ones.
Many, many people in Washington and the government, good people, bright people, believe that the real goal, that utopia, is a single-payer system. We could find out. John Dingell would talk to you all night about that, as good a man as you're going to find. What's wrong with that thinking?
Well, I think everybody has the same goal, Jack. I mean, we want to be sure that people who need access to health care have it. But a single-payer system is not the solution. There hasn't been one example of a single-payer system that that is functional and affordable. And so the solutions that have been put forth really don't address the fundamental problem, and that is that people need access to high-quality, cost-effective care, first and foremost at the primary care level, so that their care can be delivered in a way that's high quality and with service, and this valuable resource that we call healthcare, this rare and valuable resource, is then managed by a professional who knows how to manage it. The goal being to get the patient the right care in the right place at the right time. And the only professional in a position to do that with any quality is the primary care physician. And that's why we're suggesting that primary care should be paid a global management fee to care for people in this environment. We believe that concierge medicine isn't something that is going to stay only accessible to the very rich. We believe that this model will continue. It has and will continue to show that we can dramatically lower healthcare costs and improve quality and service if the employer gets engaged to defray some of the cost on the part of the employee. And this could extend to the government as well. We're providing a singular service that is valuable to not just individuals, but to employers, to payers of insurance companies, to the government, in short, Jack, to society as a whole.
Listening to you, I'm surprised that as much of an outcry as there's been about Obamacare, that it isn't as great as it probably should be, the outcry. Sure, we had the slow startup with the website, etc., but we've got 8 million people signed up. We don't know how many of them have paid. Why hasn't there been a bigger uproar about what's coming?
Well, I think it primarily has to do with that the average person doesn't fully understand the complexities of healthcare. Healthcare is a very complex industry, and we have grown up, virtually all of us, in a healthcare system that was virtually untouched by free market forces, that it was primarily a third-party payer system in which people really had no idea what things cost. And they continue to not have a good sense of that. For example, for $200 a month, we're able to provide soup-to-nuts primary care throughout the year for 85% of people's medical problems and in managing their health care. That's a tremendous amount of care that we're able to provide for a one low monthly fee. And so I think there isn't as much of an outcry because people really don't have a good grasp that we're talking about 18% of gross domestic product in our country, and it's money that's not spent on value, it's being spent on volume. And the amount that's spent is just going to go through the roof as we implement the Unaffordable Care Act. And I think ultimately the next step being the government saying that, you know, boy, this is so expensive, we need to go to a single-payer system because that's how we're going to lower healthcare costs. And, of course, that's a fallacy. They'll never be able to do it.
We're talking to Dr. John Blanchard, the co-founder and past president of the American Academy of Private Physicians. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. John Blanchard, CEO of Premier Private Physicians. Doctor, there's a lot of talk and a lot of emphasis on preventative health care. So getting to see the doctor quickly, spending time with the doctor, listening to the doctor, but also I read a lot about the value of joy and laughter in a person's life as a healer.
I think if we want to achieve optimal health in our lives, we have to address health maintenance and disease prevention and wellness. And that starts, again, with the relationship between the physician and the patient. And I once heard a physician say that he was asked, you know, what is a high-quality doctor? What does he do? And the doctor said, a high-quality doctor loves sick people. And I think that was a good thing to say because, again, it gets to the relationship that happens within that very special bond between a physician and the patient. And, you know, it's not good enough in the traditional healthcare setting. Doctors have, on average, less than 10 minutes with a patient, and it's not good enough to just say, you know, you need to lose weight. You know, you need to sit down and have a relationship with the patient, and it's in the context of that relationship that you give advice and you work with the patient to help them achieve their goals. There is a tremendous amount of joy and satisfaction that we get as physicians from a relationship like that that's healthy.
You're a man of faith, and you believe that prayer is very valuable in healing.
Well, I've seen it over and over again in my relationships with my patients and working with patients. One of the things that I can tell you is that I learn, I think, sometimes more from my patients than I teach them. And I've walked with patients during times when they are facing significant and even life-threatening challenges in their lives. And I am consistently amazed at how people of prayer and faith not only do better when they're fighting cancer or a number of medical conditions, but do sometimes miraculously recover. I've seen amazing things happen. In one case where after treatment that had only a 1 to 2% success rate, a tumor completely disappearing, and a woman who really focused on her faith and prayer. Was she one of the 2%? Maybe, but I believe that faith and prayer is critical when it comes to facing some of those medical challenges that we often do.
A lot of people believe that the greatest physician of all time was the Jewish carpenter from Nazareth, who had no pills, no surgical equipment. How did he do it?
Well, it's only through the power of God. I mean, a lot of times people, I told my sons last night that they asked about the medical symbol of the snake around the staff. And I told them they didn't realize this, but it was when Moses healed the people from, you know, they're bitten by snakes. He was told by God to hold his staff up, and it turned to a snake. And that's the origin of the symbol of for physicians. And I truly believe that anything that I do as a physician healer is not through me, but through God and Jesus Christ in my life.
I quote you again. We must create habits of success. How?
Well, on our road towards optimal health, success and failure is really determined by the habits that we have. And we can have habits of disease, or we can have habits of health. If you look at the teachings in AA, much of it is around not relying on yourself and your willpower, because we're very weak people, Jack, and our willpower is not strong. And through faith and prayer, that willpower can become stronger, but we need to give that up to God and rely on creating the habits in our lives that ensure our success. And that means creating an environment of health and wellness, and surrounding yourself with people and friends who have the same philosophy about health and wellness, and relying on creating those habits and not just our willpower.
Speaking of habits of success, talk to us about the epidemic of obesity amongst our young people today.
Yeah, it's a really scary proposition that we have a enormous population of people that are overweight and obese. That I think, again, it is starting in childhood. It's because of sedentary lifestyles and because of, I believe, a culture of that's occurring in our nation where. We have a strong need to have our needs met immediately. Delayed gratification is a big problem, not just among children, but adults. We're increasingly having a society in which people are called to, living a life that is in a way that would be considered righteous, but rather one in which they're called to meet, get their needs met immediately, and satisfy those needs. And so, I think it's a big problem.
If we could magically give everybody true self-confidence, so many other addictions would go away, et cetera, et cetera. How does one get true self-confidence?
Well, I believe self-confidence comes from setting a goal and then achieving that goal, and that takes discipline. It takes self-discipline. It takes patience, faith, and it's in achieving that goal that gives us a sense of self-esteem and that we. Feel good about ourselves, and I think too often, again, we're looking to the outside of us for the validation of our goodness, and instead of just knowing that that we are good, we're loved for who we are, and we're accepted for who we are, That's, I think, an important element of creating a self-positive image.
One of the bedrocks of America has been community, giving back. And you hear a lot of talk about a lot of our young people with the selfies and everything. It's all about them. Talk to us about charity giving back.
Well, again, I think, my parents raised me with the belief that we should look outside of ourselves, that there's a higher calling than just getting our needs met, that we need to look at how we can help those around us. charity is a form of love, and God calls us to love each other in displaying that through the charity that we do. And that's why our overall purpose in starting Premier Private Physicians is not as a model to care for the rich. This is a larger purpose to reform healthcare delivery and creating the foundation of a healthy healthcare delivery system with this type of primary care. It's part of our mission statement as an organization to fund a free clinic in Detroit for medical care. And we do that out of the profits of the organization, and we'll continue to do that as we grow.
Technology keeps changing. How will it change medicine in the next 5 to 10 years?
The I think, you know, one of the things is that too often we rely on technology as sort of a solution to the problem. And there's been, you know, millions and millions of dollars invested in new technology in delivering healthcare with very little, if no evidence showing that it actually improves healthcare outcomes, service, and lowers healthcare costs. In fact, some would argue that the investment in technology may be one of the things that are driving up healthcare costs.
Last question, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, I think the most important thing for young people, and I tell my sons this, is you know, listen to those around you, listen to your teachers, your elders, but question, always question, is what they're saying true, and is what they're saying right? It's something that I've done my whole life, and it's the reason why we're departing from where everybody else is going in healthcare and blazing a new path of healthcare delivery. Because I believe that those around us are going in the wrong direction.
Dr. Blanchard, thanks much for standing for what you believe in and doing it. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoh.
Believe in yourself.